or working in black hole entropy and quantum gravity within the Hyperlight Horizon framework. So the fun of the talk is a brief and incomplete introduction to quantum gravity, just to fix some ideas that we need to in order to understand the rest of the talk. Then I will present isolated horizon, and we present the combinatorial problem that we need to solve in order to compute the black hole entropy. The first solution to the combinatorial is the brute force method that I will explain, and the effect of discretization of entropy with area. And then, in playing with numbers, I will present the actual techniques that we are employing in order to give an analytical result to the combinatorial problem, and then some conclusions. Okay, so in the first talk, I've been introduced to quantum gravity and then to make a canonical quantization of VR, and for us, the most important thing is that at the quantum level, the gravitational degrees of freedom are described by the spin networks. So we find a spin network.
Do you want to point with the stick so we can see what you're pointing at?
Well,
it's Canada.
Okay. In Spain, we use a square of in order to define a spin network, you need an oriented graph, something like this. And a graph is a set of edges, and the important thing for us is each edge carries an SU2 direct plotted by a J number, okay? As is usual in theory of spin. Now, when you speak about black hole, a black hole is related with the present on an horizon, usually an even horizon. But the problem is that even horizon and so on are a theological concept. That means that you need to know the complete history of the space-time in order to identify such a horizon. From a physical point of view, there is a necessity of a more local definition to lead to the isolated horizons. The definition, the mathematical definition of an isolated horizon is some cumbersome, but we only need to take into account that the area of the horizon surface is constant, and we are not alone with matter or radiation in falling through the horizon. This is the isolation concept in the usual thermodynamical sense. And we are interested mainly in an horizon with spherical topology, although you can extend this framework to other kinds of topologies. But the important thing is that this isolated horizon satisfies the laws of black hole mechanics, so the thermodynamical properties are well defined in a special entropy. Okay, at the classical level, when you have the space time with an isolated horizon, the gravitational action acquires a new additional term due to the presence of the isolated horizon. This term is a U1 Chern-Simons theory. Correspond with the action of a U1 Chern-Simons theory. And okay, the origin of this U1 Chern-Simons theory is or relies on the fact that when you try to make the pullback of the SU2 connection living in the bulk into the surface, this pullback is completely determined by a U1 connection. This is some kind of geometrical symmetry reduction. So, in the presence of an isolated horizon, we have the usual action, gravitational action, plus an action for a U1 Chern-Simons theory on the surface. But that means that in the quantum level, in the bulk, we have the spin network, some height like this. This intersects the surface horizon in a finite set point, let me call punctures. And this puncture makes the U1 Chern-Simons theory and the horizon non-trivial. That means that this new degree of freedom will be the origin for the black hole entropy. Okay, in this case, at the punctures, edges acquire a new level, and this can be understood as the third projection of spin. But on the other hand, the Chern-Simons state that characterized by a level A quantifying the angle deficit or the autonomy around punctures. You can define a closed path around the punctures, and the value of autonomy is a labeled by A's. So, in order to be consistent with the isolated horizon boundary condition, you have fixed area A of the surface and a relation between the tensile of level A and the m bulk levels. A is equal to minus two times m I, where I indicates the punctures. In order to have a spherical topology, you need to impose that the sum of the A ladders over all the punctures must be zero. So this m, through this relation, the sum over m must be zero. And this is called the projection constraint. This is some kind of Gauss-Bonnet theorem at the quantum level. So now we have, or we can establish the combinatorial problem, because the entropy for a black hole is a function of area, and we need to compute the logarithm of this n of A. This n of A is the number of horizon state labeled by A leaves and for a given value of area A. This leads to a combinatorial problem. But we have a little problem here, because in loop quantum gravity, the area is an operator which has this spectrum, at least is the relevant part of the spectrum for an isolated horizon, but the area is given by J labels. The problem is that we need to count A labels from the Chern-Simons theory, and these labels are related with M labels but not with J's. This is a little problem. But the solution was given by Domagala and Mandowski in this paper, and then they established that the n of A is given by the number of all definite arbitrary long sequences n of non-zero half integers, such as the projection constraint and this condition on area of the surface are satisfied. So our problem is to count the list of n which are consistent with these two conditions. This is a very nice combinatorial problem. And the first option is, okay, we can generate all the possible lists and say to the computer that confirm if they satisfy the two conditions. If you do this, you obtain, in this paper of detail, you obtain that the entropy versus area behave like a style, like function. And this is very funny, but it's a little bit surprising. This is compatible with the present result for Bekenstein-Hopkins entropy and for a logarithm correction, because the slope of this guy is the forward one. But in with the explicit enumeration using a computer, okay, this is an exact method, non-numerical method. The computer generates each and every list and confirm if the list are satisfying the two conditions, okay? But the problem is that we cannot reach more than a few hundred Planck areas with this SR method, so it's physically uninteresting.
You're not suggesting that the log correction gives the oscillation, or does it?
Yeah, but we are improve this result, and now we have this stair-like. But you are you?
I'm asking about the, but maybe I'll ask later. I'll ask
about the oscillation of entropy. Yes, I can explain you this later. But what is the origin for this stair? Okay, we can compute the degeneracy of each eigenvalue of area, and if we do this, we find that the number of states for each value of area behave like this. When we have a band structure with very clear peak of the degeneracy, and these peaks are evenly equispaced. And the distance between two consecutive peaks are take this form, where this gamma is a parameter in loop quantum gravity that we can compute from the previous result of loop quantum black hole entropy in loop quantum gravity. But okay, that's not important. The important thing is that this guy, G, is equal to 8 times logarithm of 3, at least up to the fifth decimal figure. And you can see these two papers from Zalman and Agujoglu following me confirm this equality up to the fifth decimal figure, and this is a very strong result. But we need an analytical proof for the value of this constant.
So, there is no analytic proof, so how did you get this number? If this is not analytically derived, then how could you guess this?
Well, yeah. We have not an analytical proof because the problem is really complicated, but we are at the door of the solution. Let me explain what are the new techniques that we are employing in order to reach this.
So I have a simple question. So in spite of the square root of JJ plus 1, you're claiming that there's a constant delta A which is not a function of A?
Exactly. The distance between two peaks, which coincide with
the stairs, yeah,
is independent of parameter. Is just the barbarian parameter times a constant.
This is in Planck units.
This is the time, and we are trying to confirm analytically this value.
Okay.
Just a comment, because this is a little bit technical point, but the punctures, we are considered that the punctures are distinguishable. That means that you must only consider reordering of the labels over punctures. Okay, because you can give an ordering to the puncture, but you can choose. I give an ordering to compute a number of states, and you don't need to change for the reordering of punctures. Only reordering of labels over punctures. Okay, this is just a comment. But let me introduce NK in the number of punctures with a given K lab. This is some kind of occupation number where K is equal to 2 times the absolute value of M. So this guy has no idea about the sign of M, okay? But the important point is that a sequence of NK characterizes a state responsible for the entropy of a black hole up to the reordering and sign assignments. So the question is, for a given area, what are the sequences of NK compatible with E? The answer comes from the use of Pell and Diophantine equation, that are two sets of equations well known in number theory. This is a little long, but the point is that the area can be written like this in some units, and this kind of expression can be written in depth of a linear combination, integral linear combination of a square root of a square free number. You can always make this translation, so we can establish this set of equations. Okay? And if you follow these steps, the final result is just the sequences NK. So you can identify the state that you are looking for. So, once you have this n case, you have the k list, and you need to make assignment in order to be consistent with the projection constraint. The sum of all the m's must be 0. So this is equivalent to a partition problem in number theory. You have a set of numbers. You can split this set in two disjoint sets. And the question is, how many ways, you have, in order that the sum of the two subsets are the same. The solution to this problem is this one. And then you need to consider the reorderings of the levels over branches given rise to this guy. The number of the states that we are looking for is the product of the two guys. And you can see that we can reach to larger black hole areas making use of these techniques. But, okay, we can rewrite all of this expression because these expressions are very difficult to many computations with them. And by we can compute the world degeneracy after each single contribution making use of generating functions. So let me show that the solution making use of generating function, the solution of the sum assignment is given by this expression. This is very interesting because we can arrive to this expression following other way. I will explain this later. Okay, and once the problem beyond this theory, the conclusion is once the problem has been set up in analytical form, we can share further the implication of it. And we have three interesting windows to look at. The first one is, can this setting be related with conformal field theory? Is the discrete entropy present for macroscopical black hole? This is an important question because the stair is very beautiful, but we need to know if this stair is present at large black hole. And the last one is, what are the implications of this effect in the black hole radiation spectrum? Okay, let me only talk about the two points. The motivation to looking for a relation between this setting and the conformal field theory is given by the paper of Witten, the analogy between Chern-Simons theory and conformal field theory. And yeah, there exists some previous works about this from Gaul and Majumdar, but they work with a SU2 Chern-Simons theory on the horizon. But our Chern-Simons theory has a U1 proof. So the question is how to account for the U1 degrees of freedom following this idea of make use of the relation between Chern-Simons theories and conformal field theories. And okay, we have a U1 Chern-Simons theory on our surface, but we haven't a U1 Wells-Zunino-Witten model. So we can make a geometrical symmetry breaking or symmetry reduction from SU2 connection on the bulk to U1 connection on the surface, which happens in this model. And we can make a SU2 Chern-Simons theory on the surface and relate with SU2 Wells-Zunino-Witten. So our idea is make a U1 reduction in this sector and try to see if there is a relation between these two points. In my opinion, we need to find a conformal field theory relate directly with the U1 Chern-Simons theory over the fields. There is two options. Make use of a SU2 quoting by U1 coset, or maybe a bosonic conformal field theory over the field. But we are working on this point now, so I have not the answer. Let me just show our work in progress with Ivana Guyo, Diaz Polo, and me, that we can reduce the SU2 degrees of freedom looking for the reduction of this group, the SU2 group on the bulk, to a U1 group on the or its horizontal surface. If you look at the embedding of U1 group into the SU2, you can find these representations that are given by the homomorphisms that produce the embedding of U1 into SU2. And these guys have a character two times the cosine of chi theta, where theta is, sorry, it's in U1. Theta is this kind of exponential, which are an element of the U1 group. So we need to compute the product of characters because we are following the non-techniques in conformal field theory. You need to take into account the Poisson rules that are just the tensor product of representation, and in terms of character is simply the product of the different characters. So in order to be consistent with the projection constraint and with the gauge invariance for a U1 theory, we need to make the projection of this gate to the character of the trivial representation, because the character lives in a linear space with an inner product, and we can make this projection and we find this guy. And this is just the solution of the sign assignment making use the generating functions. So we are, I think, in the correct way, and we need to construct explicitly the conformal field theory related with this setting. And we are working on this. But the important point now for us is to find the answer to the question, is there the discrete entropy present for black holes, macroscopical black holes? And this is a very interesting and technical difficult problem, but at present we have some indication that this effect is maintained in the asymptotic regime, but we need to a little more time to give a definite proof. In a well-known paper of Charles Meissner, this one, we can find a disturbing answer. Meissner has been computed the Laplace transform of the number of states in A, something like this, and then the inverse Laplace transform give us the number of states that we are looking for. But if you can study the whole of it and you can compute this as a sum over residuals of this guy. And okay, for the leading order is given by a real pole. Macroscopic areas or area in infinite area, you have this solution, and the discrete entropy is lost in this solution. But this is not the case, as you can see in this beautiful paper of Barbero and Villaseñor, because the PS has poles whose real part accumulate to the real pole. That means that, that means that you cannot use this expression. This expression doesn't make sense if you have accumulation in the pole. So we cannot discard the possibility of finding the discretization effect in the asymptotic part. The work in progress is that we are trying to make use of different kinds of transform, like the Meissner transform, in order to simplify the structures of poles of the PAs and be able to reach the asymptotic regime. We have partial results that are very, very interesting, and we hope to have a final result very soon from these guys, Angullo, Albero, Diaz Polo, me, and Villaseñor. Thank you very much.
All right. We have a few minutes, a few questions. Jonathan?
Yeah. There's this constraint which you call the projection constraint, but I think actually it only holds modulo the trans-Simons level, right?
Yes.
So you were just simplifying the presentation.
Yes. Yeah. It's this. It's natural in this context.
So I'm going to ask a speculative question. Okay. So supposing that you're right, and the stair level is maintained to hundreds or thousands of Planck lengths, and supposing that the large extra dimension people are right, and the Planck scale is really a TEV, and there are black holes seen decaying at the LHC. And a third suppose that your analysis applies even though you haven't studied yet higher dimensional black holes. Would there be a signal, assuming all those things are true? That is, would the discrete, the stair-like structure, the entropy, result in a signal for the radiation from the black hole created by
LHC? Very natural way, because if you have this kind of degeneracy, and you have peaks of degeneracy heavily spaced, making use of the Fermi golden rule, you can say that this kind of transition will be more probably be done with more probability than other ones. So in this context, if you take an spectra of a black hole, making all the assumptions, you will find a set of Evelyn spaced brilliant lines over a continuous background. Because, okay, these are the most probability transition, but you cannot avoid these ones, and you have a continuous background in the spectrum with several lines more brilliant. This is what we expect. In fact, we are explaining this in a paper of the Apollo and me and it's a classical and quantum gravity, so we are trading this problem. And the fact that we can find an analytical solution to the combinatorial problem perhaps allows us to make a more deeper study of this kind of question. That's very nice.
And this distance was the same constant before, I mean in some units would be related to the constant you had before, the log of 3 or whatever was
the
distance. Now you're talking equally spaced.
The point is that the distance between the peaks are, the surprise was that there is a lot of value in the literature for this guy, for the Barberi-Meese parameter. Okay, we can repeat all this problem for SU2 group, SO3 group, for the Gauss-Mitra counting, another kind of counting, the Domagala counting, and we have several values or possible values for gamma. Okay, if you do that, you ever find, always find that this delta A is the Barberi-Meese parameter related with your problem, and this constant is always present. And for us, this is very close to logarithm of 8 times logarithm of 3. And okay, when we if we take an exact expression, analytical expression, we can compute this value. And we expect that this is the value because it's already nice. Now, because we can make some relation with the quasi-normal modes, or because this number is present in this context.
Yeah. Yeah, on the right hand side, you do this frequency interval, which order with the data would be rank this frequency. This frequency.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't remember, but I can check it and then. I can
so that would be very, yeah, be very high.
No, so this is like moving off. It's not plot. The H bars cancel out. This is the radius of the black hole, the inverse of the light crossing time of the black hole.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah, it might be crazy, but in this theory, if an observer has a sub-Plankian detector, could he detect that he's crossing the horizon or not?
But we in this
kind of model,
in this kind of model, we have not matter in fine with the
yeah, but just think somehow it's coupled to the sub-Plankian degree, like the quantum gravity degree. Does he see, could he detect any signal once he crosses the horizon?
I don't know.
I think that it's like he said, this is being excluded from the framework, so it's not a question of this framework.
Because you can't couple matter into the.
It's because it's an isolated horizon, because you're proposing from the very start that you're not allowing it to fall into something. But I wanted to ask a question. You mentioned on one slide about reducing this SU2. Westin model to U1 or something like that. Was this reduction somehow a gauge fixing? Or?
Yes, it's symmetry breaking procedure. We have a principal fiber bundle with this guy as structural group, and we would like to find as a bundle with U1 as a structural group. U1 is inside of SU2. And the embedding of U1 is through an homomorphism that looks like this. And this is fine because this has to take into account the total possible things for the levels. And the character of this is 2 times the cosine of k. And this is the main motivation to looking for at the geometrical symmetry reduction. But this is a very good question because this is a delicate point. Because I'm not sure that this way makes sense. Probably you need to construct explicitly the conformal field theory associated with U1 tensor over there. That's we are working.
Concerning the equation, the Fourier analysis. I mean, if you characterize U1 transignment, so this means there's a level you characterize coupling constant here. And then all your analysis was just, in some sense, looks to be in the next line. These formulas. All these formulas are valid for just usual groups, so which is at level infinite.
Well,
so I think we can see the relationship. The problem you're looking at.
Well, this is a good question, but we are taking theta simply as the coordinate of the group in the group manifold. If you take a quantum group, this theta takes discrete values. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree that you need a modification to include for the fact that there's a non-trivial level.
Yes, but this information is inside this theta. Because let me show you this one. This is just like your comment because you have in here, so, okay, 2 pi s pi over m. This is, you take this theta. You can recover the last expression. But okay, I agree with you. In order to be consistent with the quantum group or have finite level k, you need to take into account quantum groups and so on. Yes. But this is true.
What is the level?
Yes. The level is here. The level is here because the level constrains the maximum value of k.
So if you have this formula, why do you need to resume a loop in the analysis?
Well, yes, because this formula is a discrete version of the integral one. You know? We obtain this. This can be related with this one, simply relating the sum with the integral. I understand your point because this expression seems to be correct at the infinite limit of the level of general Simons theory, but we can rewrite this compatible with any level. In a compatible way with the
Are there any more questions? No? All right, let's thank the speaker again.